these hugs.
You know, I want to welcome everyone that is here, first of all. And if you're here for the first time, or if you've been here for a while, those I don't have to tell. There's a certain dynamics that happens. There's a presence that takes place. My life has been changed in a very dramatic way. I uphold the testimony that I have. And if anybody has known me or been in my presence, they do get touched by an atmosphere of heaven. I'm going to use some language that you may be aware of, and there may be some language that you may not be aware of. But I do encourage to log on to the website and get the messages and try to follow the message that has been given to me to bring on earth. That's a simple way of saying it. This book here is called the Bible. Not many people know it. It's a book that is published a long time ago, and it's the closest thing that I know that has been given to me in this supernatural place that I call heaven. I'm going to tell you, it's the universe. We serve a God, and there are many gods. How many people realize that there are many gods? Okay? There's only one God, the true living God, that I call that is supreme above all, and that's my God. And I want you to know my God. And why I say this is because we create gods with an S, and we create them through faith. And you can't just create a God thinking that you know how to create God through faith if you don't know certain criterias. You need to know the truth, and you have to understand what is truth. And only you really know the truth. Now I'm going to share something with you, because each one of us has been created unique. Everyone has been created as an individual, just like your DNA. Nobody has the same DNA, right? How many people understand what I'm saying? Okay. And I want you to really grab hold of what I'm saying, because religion has imprinted their way of thinking, and they have created a cookie cutter society, and they want everyone to be just like them, depending on whatever religion you go to. But I come with a message that was given to me to give to you, that you have your own doctrine within. You have your own following, you have your own God, and that God is the same God for everybody, but not everybody has the same God. Faith is what creates God. God doesn't exist, but you have to create him, and he does exist. Now try to follow me, because there's going to be some things that are going to say, what the heck is he saying? And you have every right to feel that way, because you have a pattern of thought that you believe. And I have to break that pattern of thought down, because what you've been thinking may not be the right way. And not everybody likes to hear that, especially those that have been giving their heart 100% into following something that they thought was real. And they don't want to be wrong. Nobody wants to be wrong. But I know the truth, because I had an encounter and I had an experience that changed my life. And when I say it changed my life dramatic. It wasn't like one day I woke up and had epiphany. My body, my spirit left my body for 3 days, and I was taken into a place that literally changed my life. And then when I came back down, my whole entire life was changed. And now I'm going to tell you, it was changed, but I was living two lives. I still wanted to drink a beer, but there was one part of me that wanted to drink the beer, and then the other part of me was petrified that the bubbles would literally burn my throat, and I was afraid. And so I know that what it's like to live two lives. Most of us are only living one, the life that wanted to drink the beer. But the life that was inside of me was empowered to put fear in me to live a life that wasn't that life. And to give me a message that allowed me to know who God is, and to have an intimate relationship with the true living God, the God of creation, the God that created a realm of glory, that when you are in that realm, it changes your life completely. It delivers you from powers that cause you to have fear. It changes you and allows you to live in a realm that takes away worry and anxiety. And the imaginations that go inside your head that cause you to create these scenarios that don't even exist, and that they torment you. And not only does it allow you to live in a realm that take all that away, but it also empowers you and gives you confidence and gives you that place that washes all those fears and worries away and allows you to deepen and to know the truth. But the truth that I'm talking about lives within inside of you. It's like having a relationship and you love somebody and people don't understand, why do you love this guy? But only you know there's something about this guy that you love. You can't explain it. But others are like, I don't understand. And this is the truth that I'm talking about. And when you find my God, which is really your God that you long for, and he was there in your life and he never left you nor forsaked you, he was always around you, but you separated yourself from him by trying to find God. And the only reason why you didn't try to find the God that I know is because you were still encamped with a lot of cares, a lot of pride. Listen, let's not deny it. We all have a sense of pride about ourselves. We were born in pride, and there's nothing wrong with having pride. And I want to show you how to transform yourself, still being able to have that pride, but that pride is not yours, that pride is God's. It's called glory. And I want you to know about the glory, and I'm going to talk about the glory today. I spoke about glory on Wednesday night, and I laid a foundation. Wednesday night we have a kind of a teaching kind of thing, but Sundays are special because there's a presence. Right now I feel the presence of the glory of God on my life right now. I'm feeling the heaviness. It's very hard for me to even stand in the presence of this glory. And the more I begin to talk about this glory, I'm starting to shake and feel undone. And I hope this same glory touches your life. This glory that I'm talking about is a glory that God created us. And I'm going to share some verses in this book. And like I said, I say that this is the closest book that is been given to me as far as knowledge. When I came back down to heaven, I knew pretty much a lot of this inside of here without even being taught it. And that's a sign and a wonder and a miracle in itself. I met some people who support us and as pastors. There's Pastor Kurt and Pastor Sam, Pastor Tim. And when I first met them, I began to declare the messages in these books. And they were like, do you know that that's the Bible that you're quoting? And I'm like, really? Let me see this Bible that you're talking about. And I was introduced to it, and I'll tell you, I love this book. You can't understand this book, though, if you read it. You can only understand it if you're in the light. You can't read it if you're in the dark. It won't make sense. How many of us read into this book and said, what the heck is it saying? Amen. Well, I'm glad that you're honest today because your life is going to be changed. Your heart is opened. And it's going to make a big wonder difference in your life, because the only time I tell people is if I can help them come into a new life is if you're sick and tired of your old one. If you're not sick and tired of your old life, I can't help you, because you're not opened enough to receive the stuff that I have to say to you. Now, I will say this, that when God has brought me back, I told him, I said, I'm not going to go and speak publicly all these mysteries that you have for me, because the world isn't going to half understand them. And he says, don't worry, I won't send you alone. I'll send my heaven with you. I'll send the council, the heaven host. Now, I say heaven because we can relate, but I'd like to expand your thoughts and let you know that there is council. There is a realm out there of life that is beyond, and then we can even go as far as the universe. You can't see the worlds that are set far beyond us. Can't even know. No comprehension, no understanding. Our minds aren't that equipped to understand the worlds that are around us and the life that is around us. And so don't get so ignorant about just this own life right here, and this is the only one that exists. There's life that is right here. There's people, I wouldn't say people, I would say living creatures and angelic beings sitting in these seats, and you don't even see them. There are people that are in your life and walking around you, and you have no clue that they're even there. And it's amazing, and it's real. And when my life was changed, I no longer see the outwardness of individuals. I see the inwardness of the individuals. And that's what I was sharing with one of my favorite fine brothers that I'm glad I got to meet. And he heard a message. And I want you to come up, just share a little bit about what you heard that got you here today. I love this brother. I love him dearly. I just met him.
Yeah, how you doing? My name's Jerry. I was over at my friend's house doing some work, and I heard a message about the wood flesh scratching open like your chest, and whatever it was, it touched me, you know, and I'm here today.
Let's just give the Lord a hand in this, because I want to tell you right now, we're living in a time right now. We're living in a time that of an age that is ending, and a new age is going to start. And God is going around picking individuals for salvation. And we've been beat up and we've been lost for a long, long time, but our hearts are opened up, crying out, help. And God is beginning to bring and draw those people who are crying out, seeking for help. And I know I was once there. I'm beginning to write a book. And you know, you're an image of my book. I love you, brother. Your life's going to change today. Thank you. I'm feeling the presence already. And I wouldn't doubt it if you're already being delivered. There are powers of darkness, and some people call them demons. Some people call them, you know, whatever they want to call them. I'm not big on devils. I don't care about devils. But I am big on being delivered and set free. There are influences and thoughts and patterns that are inside of us that cause us to think and do what we don't want to do and don't want to think. And these powers influence us and cause us to be sick, causes us to maybe do drugs, it causes us to indulge in over drink. Now, I'm not saying that drugs and drinking and all that stuff is bad. Listen, I was a big druggie myself and a big drinker myself. And when I go out and I meet people and they drink, I try to get them so drunk. I just love it. I love to watch them get drunk. And I'm like, hey, let me buy you a couple of shots. And, you know, so I have no problems with any of that stuff. I would be a hypocrite if I did. It'd be like one of those guys that's quit smoking and then everybody that smokes, they're bad. Oh, you smoke, you shouldn't be doing that. Life is inside of you, and I want you to discover that life. And God is the one that begins to cleanse you and set you free from things. And if you are doing these things, great. I want to encourage you. When you begin to start saying, I don't want this anymore. I want to do this and I don't want to do that. That's what I want to encourage you in. That's what I want you to walk in. That's the law that is written on your heart. That's the commandments. That's the law. That's the religion. That's God that is talking to you. That's my God. And that's the God that gets you the life that brings you the peace and the happiness and the joy that you long for. We're empty. And we're crying out. We want something. We're missing something and we don't even know what we're missing. We're empty and we have this dry feeling inside. We're hungry for something and we don't even know. It's almost like, I'm hungry. Well, what do you want to eat? I don't know. And we're all that way right now. Every one of us are dying inside. Hungering inside, thirsting inside, empty inside, and we don't even know what it is. And I know what it is. We're lacking what I call glory. We're lacking a presence of the universe. We're lacking God. We're lacking God. And I don't even like to say God too much because of the fact that we have belittled the power and the glory and the majestic being. We watered it down so much, we take it for granted. And I'm going to tell you, if you really knew God, you would probably come out of your skin. You'd be like, oh! Now, I saw God, and I also saw Jesus, too. That's why I respect the one that is in this book called the Bible. And I speak to many, many in, around the nations, and some of them don't even know what this is all about. They think it's a Western religion. And it's not a Western religion. But at the same time, they have mysteries in that book, and I want to bring them out. And one of the mysteries is glory. Not many of us understand what glory is. But if we can take the term on an earth matter, glory is a form of success, a form of overcoming, a form of victory, a form of, you know, winning the gold medal on an Olympic team. You got the glory, you know. Look at the glory that one is engaging in. Well, we can have that glory in life. We don't have to win in the sense of winning. We already have something that already won, and it's God. God already won a battle since the beginning of creation and beginning of time. He won a battle. And that battle, there was much blood shed and everything else. And I know that this is like far what you can think about, because you only look at carnality. You don't realize that there's life beyond. And I want you to know that there is. When you leave this body, what are you going to do? There's a life. Let me take that life out of you and show you who you really are. I know how to touch that life. That's the life that I know. That's the only life I know. The only life that I see is your spirit. Your flesh is nothing but a vessel that is just holding and housing your spirit. But all I see is your spirit. I can see good spirits and I can see bad spirits. And I thank God. I see your spirits in pain. I was sharing with my brother here. I said, I see some that are just locked up in a room that is trying to scratch their way out. I see some that are actually chained up to a wall. I see some that have balls on them that are chained up to balls, and some are nailed to the floor. I see some that are tied up. I see some that are just locked up in rooms. It all depends upon the torment that you've been brought into. All the offenses. I see hearts that are whipped and abused and shredded. And then I see healed hearts. I see scars on them. I see wounds that have been opened up that were scarred up. And then I see scars that have been there for a long time. Sometimes I call them battle scars. So that when I see an individual and I minister to those individuals, I know how to minister to where they need to be ministered to. I know the hurts that you've had from the past. And I can tell when you don't trust someone. And it's hard to trust somebody, especially when you've been mistreated for many, many years. Nobody really believed you. And a lot of times we just want to be heard. And that's where our arguments come in. That's where disagreements come in. But I want to talk about the glory and why it's so important to understand the glory. Now, when we walk in our own glory, we're tormented. There's like legal rights for the heavens to come against you and to beat you down to show you that you're not worthy to walk into glory. A glory that brings prosperity. A glory that brings health. A glory that brings peace and joy. I mean, you can look at the world and say, well, this guy has glory. But is that glory inside? He might say, take this gold medal from me. It don't mean nothing. Because he doesn't have the glory inside. Yet you could be someone with nothing and have all the glory in the world. Because now you have a peace, you have a joy, you have a victory inside of you. In the beginning, God created the heavens. And in this book, I want to share with you in Genesis. And Genesis is the first book in the Bible. And it talks about creation. But there's a point here in verse 26, it says, chapter 1, verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth and over the creeping things that creep on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Right away, we start thinking that God looks like us. He's got two arms, two legs, a head, a body. And that's the image that we think. But I'm going to tell you, we're wrong. God doesn't look like us. If I could tell you what God looks like, just picture a massive ball of energy. That's what God looks like. With a personality inside. A loving, but yet a fearful being. When I went into that place and I was able to see God, I looked over to the left and I wanted to go so bad. But the individuals that had me, and I'm going to just call them angels, had me and they were saying, no, I got to lead you to a person. I got to lead you to someone. And when I looked over and I wanted to be next to that, I said, who is that? Who is that? And they said, that's God. And I wanted to be there, but yet he was so far away. But yet, then all of a sudden, he was like right there in my face. And then the love that was so overwhelming, but then there was a fear that came on me that I would have just melted away. And I want to bring to you an understanding of this God. But then I was sent. I was sent to an individual. And that individual, I met Jesus. And I don't discredit Jesus one bit. You might hear me say, don't worship Jesus. And, you know, and, oh, Jesus died on the cross for your sins and all that stuff. No, he didn't. He was a representation of a war that took place and this blood that was shed. And that blood is a victory of glory. And Jesus beheld God's glory because he didn't have fear to go to the cross and to sacrifice himself. And it wasn't for your sins. First of all, sin doesn't exist. You put sin on yourself by condemning yourself. And I want you to understand, because we need to be free from this stuff. Who said that you were wrong? I think that you're right. Maybe I might not agree with everything that you're doing, but I'm not one to judge. When I begin to judge you, that's where sin starts to happen. We create sin. No one intentionally means to walk in sin. We put our own sin on ourselves. And we have to get away from that. We have to wash that stuff off of us. We have to cleanse ourselves. And we cleanse ourselves with the truth. And the truth comes in knowing my God. And I want you to know my God. The truth comes to us. And when that truth comes to us, that's what sets us free. It allows us to feel good about how we're living our life, and we don't have to live it in shame. We don't have to indulge in closets. We can have a confidence to know that we're doing what we're doing, and we feel good about what we're doing. And if they don't like it, oh well, sorry, get a life. But we tend to hide and feel shameful because of somebody that may not like what we're doing. Why is that? We sneak around because we feel as though that we're not with the right person. And then we start feeling guilty. Well, we got to stop this. And we got to come into this glory that I'm talking about. And I want you to know what this glory is. When God said, let me create man in my image, he said, let me create them with a victory, with a power, with a self of overcoming. Let me endure them with the power and let them have authority over everything on the earth, even the creepy things. Now, he wasn't talking about the cockroaches. He wasn't talking about the crickets and the spiders. He was talking about the creepy things that come creeping inside of you and try to mess with your head and put fear and worry on you. He says, let us have the authority over them so that they can't cause us to create an imagination that starts hurting our heart for tomorrow when we don't even know what tomorrow is going to bring. How many of us ever fell into those creepy things? All the time. And sometimes those creepy things consume us so much that they actually begin to create a form inside of us. And they distort our face, they distort our appearance, they distort our physicalness. And God says, I want to give you authority over those things. But we can't have authority over those things unless we know what the glory is. We have to begin to create the glory through faith. How did you establish your God? You began to believe, didn't you? You began to take something, and then you put your heart into it, and then you began to believe it and follow it. The sad thing about it is some culture created your God, or some sect, or some religion. But I want you to create your own God through the truth that you have inside of you, because that's the true living God. That's where the real God lives. But you can't do that if you conform yourself with some type of identity, like I'm a Christian, or I'm Jewish, or I'm Muslim, or I'm Asian, or I'm this, or I'm that. I'm Catholic, I'm that. Because you're coming under laws. That's not who you are. When you find out who you really are, you can start off in saying, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God, and there is a life that is inside of me that I don't know. And I want to know this life that is inside of me. I want to know this inner man. I want to know this inner person. I want to know what makes this inner person tick. I want to know what makes this inner person become who he is or she. And when you begin to find this person, that's really who you are. And then this joy and this peace and this love comes out that you get satisfied inside. And then you are no longer empty or thirsty. And you know what you want. You don't have to ask, well, I'm not sure what I want. Jeez. How often do we live our life all day long uncertain about what we want to eat, what we want to drink, what we want to watch, what we want to do, what we want to wear, what we want to be? All day long. Well, that's what it means to be lost. And if anybody says, are you lost? You could be honest and say, yep. Because I have no idea what I want. When you're not lost, you know what you want. You know what you want to do. And nobody can stop you. How many of us fell in love? Good. Were you able to cross any mountain and swim across any sea? And did a lot of people tell you, yo, you better not go there? And say, I don't care what you say. I know what I want. Well, you had a taste of glory. And nothing was going to stop you. You had a taste of glory. And that glory wasn't yours. You were in the God's will. You know how many people say, I don't know what God's will is for my life. Well, when you know that you know that you know, you're in glory and you're in God's will. There's an inner man inside of you that understands who God is, and he wants to live his life. And when you taste him and you see who he is, you don't want any other relationship. You don't want anybody else in your life. Because he brings a joy and a peace that surpasses your understanding. It brings a life. And when you taste the life, you don't want anything else. You're willing to forsake everything. You'll forsake your family. You'll forsake your brothers, your sisters. You'll forsake your friends. You'll forsake jobs. You'll forsake careers. You'll forsake homes. You'll forsake geographical locations. You'll leave one town to go to another. For the glory. How many people are starting to follow what I'm saying? How many people have moved for love? How many people have literally left their job to find love? Now you know what I'm talking about. Because the glory is a form of love. A glory is a form of love. And I'm going to tell you right now, I love myself. Now that might sound bad, but I'm going to tell you what, it's a good thing because I'm not going to be influenced. Now, what I love is not really who I am, so to say, the old man. I love the new man that's inside of me, and that's what makes me love myself. If I was in the world, so to say, I would hate myself. I would find all kinds of faults. Oh, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that, I'm that, I'm this. Oh, I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that, and I condemn myself all day long, and I look at everything I do, and I just keep condemning, 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 condemning. But when I found the new man, when I became a new creature, when I found the inner man inside of me, and I embraced the inner man inside of me, I began to make a decision. I want to live this man. I forsook a lot. And I'll tell you what, it could be gloomy and it could be scary, but you know what? The life that is lived inside of me is eternal. When I leave this earth and that life that is with me, I'm going to be embraced with that life and I'm going to go to that place. But if I'm separated with that life that's inside of me and I leave this earth, guess what? That life is going to go somewhere and I'm not going to be invited. And I'm going to be prepared to place somewhere else. And I don't want to go there. Because where that place is not good. Now, religion has it a little bit, right? But they also got a little bit of it wrong. They talk about heaven and hell and all that other stuff. But I want to tell you right now, if you don't connect with the inner spirit that's inside of you, you are not going to a happy place. But if you connect with the inner spirit that's inside of you, you will go to that happy place. We have to understand that we're made up of a soul. And that soul is neutral. That soul is empty. That soul needs something to cling itself to. And then there is a child of God living inside of you that is going to go back to God. But if we don't embrace this child of God, if we don't connect with it and join with it, we're not going. We're going to be left alone and lost for eternity. How would you like to be lost for eternity? And this is what I'm talking about. Now, I'm not a big talker about after death and all that other stuff, life after death. I want us to find the life now because earth is the only place where you have the opportunity to connect yourself with the Spirit of God. Earth is the only place, this life that you have right now. That's why I'm here to talk. I say, what do you want me to? He says, listen, I'll open up the ears that I want them to hear you, and I'll close the ears that don't have to hear you. Don't worry about it. I'll bring the souls that are around that I want to save. You don't be concerned whether they understand you or not. It's my job. So I say, okay. I'll open up my mouth, and I'll just speak whatever comes out, Lord. You fill it, I'll speak it. Let it touch them that need to hear it. And let them be concerned about and be responsible for their own soul, whether you want it or not. I hope the best for you. That's all I can say. I do know that me, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay here on this earth and when I leave this earth. Do you think that God will let one of his child suffer? When you connect with him, you won't suffer. If you're disconnected, you're an illegitimate child, and you will suffer. I don't want any of us to be an illegitimate child. I want us to all be grafted in and become born again, so to say. How many have heard those terms before in the religious atmosphere? Okay. Well, it is true. You actually become reincarnated, born again. You're transformed into another being. And I want to use these words because I want everyone to grab hold of what I'm saying. Because really, what brings division? What you think and what they think. Well, if I said reincarnation, but if I say reincarnation and born again, I might get two people to agree. If I say reincarnation, born again, and new man, maybe I'll get them all to agree. But aren't they the same? Let's put the child things away and let's look at the reality of it. If you're going to live a life lost, confused, be honest with yourself and start saying, you know what? I am lost. I am confused. That's the beginning of glory. You begin to renounce your glory as if you know something. You know nothing. If you think you know and you say, I don't know, you don't know. Why are you deceiving yourself? Why are you fooling yourself? The quickest way to become connected with the inner man inside of you is not like a 10-step program. It's just a matter of just throwing everything that you know away and be honest with yourself. And then God will start uniting you. But when you are filled with pride and you think you know, even though you don't, next minute you know, you're separating yourself. There's a veil between you and him. Now that inner man that I'm talking about is God. And some people call it the Holy Spirit. Some people just call it the inner man. It's all the same. Holy Spirit, God, inner man, it's all the same. Now you create a God and you separate yourself from that God. You never become one with it. It's over there or over here or over there. Or it's in somebody else that you have to come to in order to get to the real God. I never understood that. Father, forgive me. Say 10 Hail Marys and you'll be forgiven. I just don't understand it. And it deceives millions and thousands. And I just don't get it. When you, first of all, you're already forgiven. You're already forgiven. Nothing is held against us. And that's the beauty of being here on this earth. A lot of people want to leave this earth. They're sick and tired. And I don't blame them. They're sick and tired of the pressures. They're sick and tired of the things that you feel like you have to do. But if you knew God and you connected with the inner man that's inside of you, God, if you knew him, he knows every need that you have and he supplies every need. He'll bring it to you. You don't have to work for it. Now, I'm not telling you to find him and then quit your job and everything else. But I am telling you that it will make life easier for you. Opportunity will come. That person that you're missing in your life will come. You're not too old. You have to realize life just begins when you start with the inner man. And you haven't missed anything. That's the beauty. He'll like speed up your life. And those things that you felt like you missed, where you said, oh, I would have, could have, and should have because I had a desire in my heart and I missed it because you were fearful of money or you were fear of possibly losing your job because if you took a day off from work, you'd get fired or something of that nature. Somehow along the line, fear caused you not to fill the desire of your heart when God was within trying to say, hey, go walk up to that girl. Tell her how pretty she looks. Oh, that's stupid. You kidding me? She'll probably slap me in my face. How much fear do we hold? But perfect fear, or perfect love, I should say, casts out that fear. And God is nothing but love. I like that message that Dennis was talking about because he was talking about love. And if we don't find this true love, this inner man that's inside of you who loves you, and I met him. I'm going to say him because it's an authority in my life, and him in this world, that's what we know is authority. But, you know, I take him and that authority that's inside of me, and that authority in itself is love, and now that's why I love myself. I don't love myself for any other reason other than that person, that thing, that inner being, that spirit is love. Now, God has put a glory, and when he created man, he created us in his image. He created us in the image of his glory. And God is, if you knew him like I know him, there is no one or no thing that can come against him. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He knows you more than you know yourself. He prepares the way. There's a council of hosts that is humongous, that wars before you and sets the ways before you. So if there's any desire that's inside of you, first of all, he allowed that desire. God gave you that desire. And when you acknowledge this, when you start acknowledging that it's no longer you that feels that way, but it's God's inner feeling. Now, it has to be the good, okay? And later when you mature, you'll realize that God will also put a fear in you, but not all fear is of God. And that's where discernment comes in. That's why it's important to come together in a unique body like this so that we can encourage, because if you have fear and you come to counsel, and everyone needs counsel, amen? Everyone needs someone's advice, you know, a neutral party. And I truly, those that are listening, please email or what have you. And if you're seeking counsel, I'd be more than happy to seek God on your behalf and give you that godly counsel. But with that being said, that counsel may put fear on you, but you can't discern it. So I want to make it real simple right now. Anything that is negative, anything that is fearful, anything that's causing you to worry, I want you to cast it down. I want you to cast it down and begin to start accepting God in your heart. Say, God, I want to know your glory. And your glory will cast down fear. Your glory will cast down worry. Your glory inside, that glory that is his, now you begin to embrace it. You begin to embrace it and it empowers you. How many here want to be empowered? How many here want to be able to walk in victory? You know, how about in confidence? How about just confidence alone? Not being afraid about approaching a situation or standing before a judge or whatever. An authority. Hey, I know when I wasn't in God, when I saw cops, I'd be like, there's a cop. And be like, what are you afraid of? I don't know. They're all bad. And I was born with fear with them. Now they're my buddy. I say, hey, girls, come here. I want you to see a cop. Look, this is a cop. They're there to protect you. So if you're in the mall and somebody just call, cop, cop, and they'll come running and save you. I would never have done that. I would have, cop, run! I'm getting beat up and I'm calling for my friends. I'm not even thinking about a cop. Isn't it so true? But we don't have that inside of us. We have fear. Let's have boldness. Let's walk with God's boldness. Let's walk with his love. I'm all right. Yeah, thank you. Let's walk with the encouragement that God has for us. And it's his glory. When you walk in his glory, there's going to be people that are going to condemn you. They're going to say, yeah, you did this wrong. You did that wrong. When you're walking in his glory, you're going to be in their face and saying, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm innocent. I don't know what you're talking about. When you're in his glory, you know that you didn't. You're not second, well, did I do it wrong? Am I wrong? When I did it, I felt really good. How can I say I'm wrong? Geez, I must be wrong. And then you find yourself saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what? I don't know, but you're making me feel bad, so I'm going to say I'm sorry. That's not God's glory. You're not walking in God's glory. Because then you say, listen, I'm not sorry for nothing. If I offended you, oh well, get over it. Did I mean to offend you? No, I'm not a bad person. Okay, but these offenses must come. Maybe you should look at yourself. Don't look at me. Maybe you should look at yourself and find out what your problem is. Don't try to spin it and make it my problem. Amen. When you're in God, you're free. You're not cocky, okay? You're not. You don't have this bad attitude. You're not walking around bad. You're just walking around with a boldness. You're walking around knowing who you are. Because when you did it, you were moved. You knew God. I always say, there's no right, no wrong, no good, no bad. I remember people would say, what are you talking about? You can't say that this is right when it's wrong. Well, you're walking with judgment. Simple as that. If it's wrong to you, then it's wrong. Stay away from it. If it's right to you, then have fun. Have a party. It's like me saying, get a life. It's allowing me to say to you, you have approvals to do whatever you want to do. Well, that's wrong. You can't do that. How are you ever going to get to the place, and how are you ever going to learn if you don't get burned? How are you going to learn, and how are you going to go to places if you don't have experiences in things? You know, there was a girl that came to me and said to me, you know, I want to go to the bars, but I'm not allowed to go. And I'm like, but you're like 30-something. And but I was never allowed in the bars, so I just don't go in the bars. And, you know, and I want to go in the bars, and I want to have a drink, and I'm not allowed. And if I'm caught, I'm going to be in big trouble. And by who? Where are you getting this? Why are you putting yourself? If you feel like going, go. This whole time, this person wanted it to go so bad that they were end up doing things behind closed doors, and they were indulging behind closed doors and inflicting more issues and problems in their life. And then when I said to them, listen, forget about what anybody says. How do you feel about going? I want to go. Okay, go. They went. They ended up puking their guts out. And then they said, you know what? I don't ever want to go again. But if they never went, how would they know if they never wanted to go again? They were always saying, I want to go, I want to go, I want to go, in torment because someone said you can. But we got it all over with in one day. They went, puked their guts up, and they realized that's not what they wanted to do. Do you understand where I'm coming from? And set that person free. Set them free. And now they feel good about whether what they want to do and what they don't want to do. Listen, never condemn what you've done. Be grateful for the bad things that happened in your life, because it just made you wiser. It just made you for who you are. I look at you with great wisdom. Street smarts. That's good. No one will con you. No one can pull wool over your eyes. You can smell it. You can see it and smell it. That's a gift. You know how many people are out there that can't have that? They'll never have that because life never showed them. And God is life. When I look at you, I see life. When I look at you, I see life. When I look at you, I see life. Because of your experiences, because of your encounters, because of what you went through. You went through a lot. All the abuse, all the using. How many people have used you? Well, now it's time. Now it's time to put your foot down and say, listen, I'm sorry, go get a job. Go find somebody else. Because God's with you. How do you feel? You know, people have a way of putting guilt on you to make you do things that you don't want to do. And then later you regret it and your whole day shot and all messed up and their life is robbed because you have guilt on you and you can't do what you want to do. Why? Because you're not carrying the glory of God. You don't know my God. You might know a God, and I call some of them pillow gods because we only go to them when we have a problem. Oh, God, help me. But God wants us to come to him on the good times too. He wants us to have a relationship with him so that when we're walking, hey, God, come on, what are we going to do now? I know when I was in Mexico, and I'll never forget this. This is when the real intimacy came to me. I did not want to do anything. I did not want to minister to these people. I didn't want to do nothing. I was tired. I was dirty. I've traveled many hours, and I just wanted to go home. Next thing you know, there's like 400 people wanting prayer, and all I did was lift up my head and say, okay, God, let's go. And as soon as I made a step, people just got touched all over. Next thing you know, they're screaming, hailing, wailing, crying. Healings are happening. And I went to the pastor and I said, thank you, I'll be back for revival. God sent me all around the world. You can see the nation's flags, and now we're touching the world now. I just got my notice. And we're touching the world all over the place. And I want to thank you, those that are here, because God's going to touch you. I'm going to call a place of ministry. And I don't know how I'm going to minister right now. I may just leave you in your seats. And I'll begin to speak over your life. And if you want me to speak over your life, I will. And those that have to leave could leave. But those that are listening around the world, I want to be able to speak to you. I want to be able to minister to you. And if you can make a point to get here, please do. If not, touch me through the internet. Touch me through the website. Email me. Write letters. Do whatever you got to do. There's access through that. So that you will know the glory. Keep logging in so that you would know the glory. Log in on Wednesday nights because we have different speakers that will speak. And I want you to hear from others that I've been pouring into and mentoring, and that are called to walk into their calling. And with that being said, I need to end the service. So if I can have every head bowed for a moment, I want to give glory to God and thank him for his word. And if you're here today and you want to give your life over to God, it's simple. You just say, God, I don't want to walk the rest of my life alone. I want you to walk with me. Now, you might have been here or you might have had a relationship with God already. And I don't want you to throw away that relationship with God. I want you to refine it. I want you to say, God, I was ignorant in my heart. I really didn't know you. I took a lot of credit. And I don't want to take the credit anymore. I want to change the way I'm thinking. I want to give the credit back to you. Everything that I've done in my life, I know that you were in charge. I know that you were doing it. I hope you realize that tonight or today. I hope you realize that. I hope now that you, after this message, those that are here and those that are listening, start to realize that God has been working through your life this whole time. Even through the bad. Because he was just showing you something. He was teaching you something. Sometimes we have to touch the burner to see that it was hot. And now we know it's hot and we don't have to touch it anymore. We already know. We know it's hot. We don't have to touch it again. The mistake is, the sin is you touched it again. And you didn't learn your lesson the first time. And then it really gets dark when you keep touching it. Just stop touching it. You learned your lesson the first time. Just move on. This is how you build a relationship with God. I want you to build your relationship with God and transform him into the truth. I give you credit that you establish faith. Now I want to build that faith. I want to make you for who you are. I want to give you that joy and that peace that you long for. And it's just a matter of rewiring your thoughts. It's just to get you to think a different way. And as soon, there's a power in heaven, as soon as you begin to give God the glory, as soon as you begin to start realizing that you couldn't do anything on your own, and He was directing you, and He was able to allow you to do the things that you did, good and bad, it will empower you. And moving forward, when you get that feeling to do something and not to do something, and you obey it, and you forsake everybody else that's coming against you, and you will just obey that voice, now you're worshiping God. Now you're worshiping Him. You're giving Him glory and honor and praise, and you are now obeying the law written in heaven that is written on your heart. And that's the God that you will find, the true living God. That's the one that will empower you in glory. Not a law that is written that you have to follow. Not the do's and the don'ts and the rights and the wrongs. It's what's written on your heart. What's your heart saying? What's it saying? What's it want? A lot of us don't know right now. But if you begin to humble yourself and seek the God that I'm talking about, you'll eventually know what you want. You'll eventually know what you need to do. You'll eventually find your life, because your life is hidden inside. I used to say, if I was in God and my job was to wash the bathroom floors and I was in His will, I'd be the happiest man on earth. Because there's a peace that surpasses all understanding when you're in His will. We don't know His will. Father, I ask if You just pour Your Spirit out now and empower those that are here and those that are listening. Empower them. Empower them. Empower them to want this. Create a hunger, a fire that is inside of them to want this. Get them to that place. Draw near to Me and I will draw near to you, says the Lord. Get that fire drawing them closer to You so that they can begin to taste this glory. They don't know it. Not that as I know it. They might know glory, but not like I know it. It's like vanilla ice cream. You looked at it, you weren't sure of it. But then when you tasted it, something happened. And some might have thought it was the best and you'll never have any other flavor. But I'm asking you to taste something else. Maybe what you've tasted you thought was good. And you might have even encamped around it and created some pride with it. And you're a devout whatever. Well, I want you to take that cloak of righteousness off. I want you to just lay it down on the side. And begin to invite the King of Glory. Keep every head bowed for a second. There's a verse in Psalms chapter 24. It says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For He had founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hills of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul to an idol. It's not your glory. You didn't do nothing. And everything that happened in your life, he did it for you. And if you want more, he'll do it. But as soon as you start taking credit, as soon as you start thinking it out, as soon as you start reasoning, and still, as soon as you think you got a plan, he'll show you, especially if you're called. And I look at you and you're called. You're called. You're called. And when you're called, your life isn't easy. You don't have it easy. You don't step in the doo-doo and everything works out great. You step in the real doo-doo. And if you feel as though that your life never went right, you're in a great place. Because you're chosen. And the reason why your life didn't go right is because you didn't ask. You didn't know him. You didn't give him your glory. You were doing it on your own. When you're called and you do it on your own, you struggle. I'm telling you the truth. But your life can turn around now because you're called. There are people out there that seem like life is just going real easy for them. Geez, I don't know, man. My sister seems like whenever she wants, just can. Well, maybe she's not called. And everything I do just seems to go to pots. Because you're called. Our sin is only because of lack of knowledge. Our downfalls and our struggles are only because of lack of knowledge. And I'm here to give you knowledge. No one told you that you were beholding glory that wasn't due to you. It was due to God. And it's just a simple acknowledgement to say, thank you, God. But I do that. Your lips confess it, but your heart is so far from it. Anybody can say thank you. Did you mean it? Anybody can say I'm sorry. Did you mean it? Where is the true voice? Inside. Father, empower those that have their heads bowed and still are seeking your face. He shall receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation who seeks him, who seek your face. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. God wants to come in. He wants to change your life. There's an emptiness inside. He wants to fill it. Is that your wife? Good. Because when you begin to allow God and his glory to come into your life, your relationship is heightened. There's a love there and a satisfaction that comes when the two of you are together. There's a confidence that comes, and there's a fulfillment of love. Something that might be missing. And God's going to fulfill it. a security, because I feel that your travels, your life is going to change. I feel that you're in the midst of a transformation. And I think there's one of you that is uncertain about it. And one of them is ready. But I believe when you, as the man of the house, begins to grab hold of this, everything will line up. And everything's going to be easy. Because you're seeking God, and I'm proud of you, I want to say, because I see that you're a seeker. You don't want to make a mistake. And that's honorable in His eyes, and He sees it. And I think that's why you're here today. Because He wants to let you know, through my words, that He's proud of you. You just don't know Him the well as He wants you to know Him. And as you begin to feel confident in the way you're feeling, He wants you to have boldness to know that He's got your back. So don't waver. Feel good about what you're doing. Good. And don't let anybody influence you in your decisions. Isn't that wonderful? So build on that and keep building on it. And keep building on it. Because I believe as you go forward, you're going to need that confidence. Because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to think that you're not thinking right. Good. Don't let it make your heart sad. Good. Good. Because sometimes we tend to waver and we give in. And God is saying that I'm going to take you on a journey, and it's going to be far beyond what you can imagine. And your wife, she has a little bit of fear because she's set her ways and she's content, comfortable. But sometimes doesn't like the boat to shake. And when the boat starts to shake, she gets a little scared. But I want you to know that God's got your back. And He wants to cast all that fear away. He wants to cast all that doubt away. All that has been causing your heart to be troubled and your nerves. Don't worry about your bills. They're going to be paid. Don't worry about the burdens that are on your shoulders right now. Because I'm going to tell you right now, God's going to make a way. You might have to simplify some things, but it's okay. And you're going to see a miracle. Because of your faithfulness today, I ask God to give you a miracle. I ask God to let Him show Himself in your life that confirm this message that I'm speaking and give you a breakthrough. He's going to pay some debt off. You're going to find that it's going to come supernatural, and you're not even going to realize how it happened. And God's going to clear it. I asked Him to do something big for you.